This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. For those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. We again would remind you that you can be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. You can read my weekly meditation on the website. You can be asked to be placed on the email list for that meditation, and you can re-listen to this program on the website, even downloading it to your own computer if you would like. So if you would like the mailing address or the website address, you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to read from Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 33, and our discussion is going to have to do with fasting and with the issue of the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament. And while these are, in a sense, two subjects, yet fasting was an Old Testament a way of showing mourning and sorrow that was associated with repentance and was probably more closely associated with Old Testament ritual than it is with the New. And so we need to recognize that really we're going to be looking at the relationship of Old Testament truth to New Testament truth, of which fasting is one facet. We stopped last time with the statement, "I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." And I want to just dwell on that for a moment before we pass on, because oftentimes as we preach about some of these truths that I consider to be lifestyle truths for Christians, it's easy for people who have never become Christians to make a judgment about Christianity based on what they perceive to be the rigid rules of Christianity, the rigid rules for living. And they see people who are Christians placing burdens not only upon themselves but upon other people because they are Christians. And I want to make it clear that the gospel I preach is a gospel that frees us from bondage, it frees us from religion, and it frees us from the sin that does so easily ensnare us, as we read in the New Testament, sin that does so easily hamper our relationship with the Lord. It frees us, it doesn't make us sinless, but it gives us the power to deal with those sins. And so it's sinners that the Lord has called to repentance. And sometimes you would think that it's the saved that the Lord saves, but it's not. It's sinners that the Lord saves. Sometimes we would think that it's the good people that the Lord saves. And while many good people are saved, in God's eyes there is none good, Romans 3 tells us, no, not one. So he doesn't call the good to be saved. He calls sinners to be saved. And I think what we need to emphasize is that, yes, there is a Christian lifestyle. There is a standard for holiness and for the separated people that we become when we trust in Christ. There's a standard of living that the Lord does ask us to abide by. And he says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, if you don't do the things that I say?" But I want you to understand that we all start out as sinners. And then when we come to trust the Savior, we do that only because we find out we're not righteous. We are sinners, and that's who he's called to a change of mind, to repentance. And this change of mind deals with whatever arguments we have with God. And once we deal with those arguments, we can come to faith in the Lord Jesus and just believe that when Christ died, he died for sinners. He died to put away our sins. And once we find that out, our relationship with the Lord will be one of devotion, not one of duty. And then we will search for ways to please the Lord. And we will ask ourselves questions like questions that are coming up in this chapter. If I am the Lord's, should I fast? If I am the Lord's, do I keep the Old Testament ritual to please him? Not in order to be saved, but is that the way that I please him? And we aren't here to lay a burden upon people, but to help them understand that Christ is the burden bearer. He bears our sin and the burden of our sin. He bore it in his own body on the tree. He saves us from all of that. And now we are free to serve him, but we do it out of a devoted heart. We don't do it because other people are telling us that we have to conform to a certain image or to a certain lifestyle, even though when we begin studying the scriptures, we'll probably all come to the conclusion that there are certain things that Christians just simply do not want to do because they would be displeasing to the Lord. And of course, the moral law is pretty clear on that. All cultures believe in the basic moral law, which is that you shouldn't murder, and that you shouldn't cheat, and that you shouldn't commit adultery, and that you shouldn't lie, and that you should pay your bills. Those basic truths are found in all cultures. And whether you're saved or unsaved, the society you live in is going to expect you to live up to those standards. But remember, when the Lord says, I've not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, a person who stands at the gate of heaven and is asked why he belongs there, if that should ever happen, that person is going to say, I don't belong here. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And it's that truth, it's that promise that God has made to us through his Son that will be our passport into that place called heaven, where we can enjoy eternal life with the Lord throughout the endless ages of eternity. Friend, I hope that you are one of the sinners that the Lord has come to call to repentance, and that repentance has led you to faith in Christ. I hope today you know that as a sinner, your sins have been forgiven and that you are saved. Now, verse 33 says, they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Notice it says, then they will fast in those days. Now, verse 36, he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, what is the Lord saying with regard to fasting? It seems to me that he's saying that he's the bridegroom, and he was present at that time. And when you're with the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is rejoicing in his marriage and having his wedding feast, that's not the time for fasting. And the Lord was present in the lives of these disciples, and he's saying that now is not the time for fasting. When John the Baptist was preaching about sin, and people were convicted that they had turned away from God and that they had served idols, when they were convicted of that, that may have been a time for fasting, for mourning. In the Old Testament, when Jonah began to preach to the people of Nineveh, and they began to see the error of their ways, starting with the king down through the common man, they put on sackcloth and they fasted and they mourned. And so there is this desire or this intent of showing our sorrow that's associated with sin, whether it be in death or whether it be in sins we've committed through fasting. But fasting is also a self-discipline. And when people fast, they take control in a sense of an appetite that is often out of control. And it gives them the ability to, you might say, develop a self-disciplined attitude in their relationship with God. Now, truly, our control is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls us. But if we would like to understand what it's like to be disciplined in that control, then fasting is often helpful. And in the Bible, prayer and fasting often goes together. And I will assure you, having tried it, that if you fast, you will remember to pray. Because if you're like me, you really will get hungry and you will have to pray to have power over that hunger and to allow yourself to fast. But fasting is really not required in the New Testament. If a person's a diabetic, I don't think the Lord demands that they fast. Now, I know some people say, well, they can give up something, but in the New Testament, fasting was giving up food. And it wasn't just eating meat on or eating fish on Fridays. It was actually giving up the pleasures that the body itself enjoys. And I know that there are people who are going through this period called Lent and they say they're fasting, but it's not what is talked about in the New Testament, because in the New Testament and in the Old, fasting was definitely associated with hunger and discipline over the appetite of the body. So, should we fast? Well, I can tell you that the Bible does not tell us we should fast, but you can see that the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then will they fast. So I think the Bible assumes that we will fast, but there's very little teaching in the Bible about fasting. If you go into the epistles, Paul obviously did fast a couple of times. There's times when he uses that word, but it's associated with him just simply hungering, and it was not a voluntary fast. But there were voluntary fasts in the New Testament. But there is no doctrine associated with the need to do it. However, I am convinced that people that do fast and pray for a period of time will find themselves drawn closer to the Lord, and they will find themselves in a state where the Lord can perhaps speak to them and make them useful, even in the answer to their own prayer. I am convinced that while fasting is not commanded in the New Testament, that it is a useful discipline. And you don't have to fast just when you're upset about something or when you've committed a sin or when someone has died, although those might be times when you feel like fasting. It's wise to do your fasting in private at times when nobody else knows about it, but when you want to draw closer to the Lord and want to be reminded that the body is not where it's at, it's the spirit that is going to be where we're going to be blessed, and we need to draw closer to the Lord in the spirit. And the discipline of fasting often helps us to do that. Now, that will never save us. Fasting will never save us, just like the Lord's Supper will never save us, and baptism will never save us. But it is something that might be helpful to us if we want to serve the Lord and know Him better. And so next time we're going to look for at this putting new wine into old bottles, because the thing that I see here is that the Jews wanted the New Testament truth to be just an extension of the old, and there was always a problem associated with that in the Jewish mind. Do you have to be a Jew to be a Christian? And of course, being a Christian was not a new sect of the Jewish religion, and we need to think about this and look at it next time so that we understand what in the Old Testament and is applicable to us today and how the Old Testament applies to us today, because it is often misapplied and people don't really understand the relationship of the Old Testament to the New. We'll talk about that some then next time. Now, I just trust that you're one of the sinners that have come to repentance, and that if you're fasting, you're fasting to be a better Christian, not in order to become one. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just ask Thee to bless our lesson today, to bless those who have listened, as we give thanks for Thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.